Good evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight. Has anybody got a favourite hymn you'd like to sing? Just shout out the number, please. Number 50. The hymn number 50 in your hymn book. The hymn number 50 in your hymn book. Number 50 is the hymn, and you'll find it on the page 196. It's a great old hymn. It says, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be." The hymn number 50 will stand as we sing, and let us each one sing it out with all of our hearts. The hymn number 50, standing as we sing. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord tonight for his help and blessing in our meeting. Let us all pray. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, We come before thee this night in the Saviour's worthy and precious name. We thank thee afresh tonight for him who loved us, him who gave himself for us, him who died an atoning death, that we might know our sins forgiven, even as we've been singing, pardon for sin, peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. And Father, we thank thee that this is our portion tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we think of thy word which says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank thee this night for freedom and liberty to gather, Lord, in this fashion tonight, in this place where prayer is wont to be made. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have of seeking thee, of calling upon thy name. And we thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou art a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. And Lord, you have said in thy word that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And all God, our prayer is tonight, O Lord, that thou wilt bless our coming together around thy word and around the throne of grace and prayer. And Father, we do pray that thou would presence thyself with us in a very special and real and powerful and particular way. We pray that each and every one of us might know a very conscious sense of the presence of the Lord, that we might each one know and hear the speaking voice of God to our hearts, saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. And Father, we pray that thou would just bless us tonight afresh around thy word, and help us, Lord, to hide thy word, O God, in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. And Father, we pray that thy word would be a blessing, that it would be a challenge and an encouragement and a help to our souls as the people of God. And Lord, bless us in our season of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. And Lord, pour upon us each one that spirit of grace, of prayer, of supplication. We thank thee for the promise of Christ, where he has said that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father. Lord, bless us tonight around thy word. Bless us around the throne of grace and prayer. And Father, may we go home tonight rejoicing, Lord, that we've met with thee, that we've heard thy voice, that we've heard that voice saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. We thank thee for all who've been able to gather with us tonight. Bless every head bowed before thee, O God. Remember every home and family circle represented. Meet the need of all our hearts and our lives as the people of God. Strengthen us with grace and with thy spirit in the inner man. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might. Remember our homes and our family circles. Lord, bless them. Meet every need, O God, we ask. And Father, be pleased in thy grace and in thy power just to unite our family circles in the Lord. Remember, Lord, those also who may be listening in online tonight, whoever they are, wherever they might be found, we pray that thou wilt bless them, O God, and that thou wilt minister to them by the grace and by the power of God divine. Remember others who cannot be with us here tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them, that thou, Lord, will minister to them, that they too will know the grace of God divine. And others, Lord, have suffered loss, who mourn, we pray that they will know the comforting hand of God, that thou, Lord, will be their comforter, and that thou, Lord, will fill the vacant chair with the presence and with the nearness of the Lord. Father, we thank thee for the meeting tonight in Tresna. Bless all the boys and girls who have heard your word. And Father, we pray that that word would live on in their hearts many days, O God, we ask. And that, Lord, through that word, many children would be saved, even in that meeting this year, and be made wise, O God, unto salvation, we pray. Remember the other meetings that are planned this week as well, amongst the children and the young people. We pray that your hand of blessing would be upon them. Again, Lord, we thank thee for thy presence and blessing. Last, Lord, stay here in thy house, and all who heard thy word. And Father, we pray, O God, for those that are in unsaved. Lord, speak on to their hearts. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. And Lord, draw them to faith and to repentance unto the Lord for salvation. Bless our land tonight, O God, wherever thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed. Remember, Lord, every faithful effort in the gospel, we pray. And Father, bless and visit our land in mercy.
and turn the hearts of many even unto the Lord. Bless us now, we pray. Cleanse our hearts afresh in the precious blood of the Savior. Outpour thy Spirit upon us and glorify thy name amongst us this night. For we pray and we ask all these things. For Jesus' sake and glory we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. And we're going to read from the verse number 14 of the chapter, just going down to the end. You find Deuteronomy in the early part of the Old Testament. It's the last book of the Old Testament law section. And we're reading from Deuteronomy chapter 24, breaking into the chapter, the verse 14, going down to the end. When you're looking it up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see each one gathered with us this evening. We bid you welcome. Pray the Lord will bless you around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember the meetings here over the weekend, Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting, youth fellowship at 8 p.m., and then the services on the Lord's Day, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7, and the will of the Lord will belong to minister God's Word. Pray for those meetings and plan to join with us. Do pray also for the open air on Friday morning as well in the town centre at 11 a.m. And if you're in the town shopping, do join with us. We'll be glad of your support if you're able in the open air. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and the verse number 14. Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. At his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and set of his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee hence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thy harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. And when thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And when thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Amen. Ending the reading there at verse number 22. And we pray the Lord will add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. The words I want us just to look at tonight are the words there of verse number 18 of this chapter. It says, but thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and that the Lord thy God redeemed thee. The hymn writer says, what a wonderful redemption. Never can a mortal know how my sin, lo red like crimson, can be whiter than the snow. And by such words, the hymn writer is both remembering and praising the Lord for the work of God's redemption in their own life. And this is what God's people are commanded to do in our text tonight here in verse 18 of Deuteronomy 24. It says, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Here God's people are being commanded to remember that they had been redeemed by the Lord. And this verse is set in the context of Moses telling ancient Israel about certain civil laws that were to be observed whenever they went in to live in the promised land of Canaan. We see how, from the verses that we've read tonight, how masters were commanded to deal justly with their servants. It says there in verse 14, "Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy." We see also how the magistrates and the land were commanded to be just in all their administrations. It says there at the end of verse 16 of the chapter, it says, "Every man shall be put to death for his own sin." Then we see also how the people themselves were commanded to be kind and charitable towards those who were poor and needy. Look at verse 17. It says, "Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge." And how they were to be kind to those that were strangers in the land, those who were widows in the land, those who were fatherless. And then further on down in the final part of the chapter, from verses 19 to 21, we see how even they were to leave parts of their crops in the fields, around the perimeters of the fields. They were not to take in everything for themselves. They were to leave a certain amount of the crops again for the widows, for the stranger, for the needy in the land who would come in, that they would have provision in their time of need. Now, to invoke their sympathy and indeed the kindness of the people, Moses here reminds Israel that they themselves were once poor and needy, and that they themselves were once slaves in Egypt. And yes, God had been kind to them, and God had delivered them out of the bondage and the servitude of Egypt, but they are reminded of that fact that they themselves once were slaves and were in bondage in Egypt. And you see that in verse 18, our text. He says, "But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing." And people of God, the practical lesson here is that we also as Christians should be kind and generous and helpful to those who are poor and needy. Yes, as God's people, we should never be hard-hearted to others who are in need and are in desperation. But as well as a practical lesson from these words, there's also a spiritual lesson. And that spiritual lesson is this, that we are never to forget what the Lord has done for us in redeeming us from the awful ruin and the awful bondage of our sin through the precious blood of Christ, our Savior. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." And that is something we must ever remember. That is something we must never forget as the people of God. Hence this exhortation in our text. Hence this admonition to us as the people of God, when it says, "But thou shalt remember that the Lord thy God redeemed thee." And that's what we wanted just to think about tonight. Why should we remember our redemption? Well, there are really four reasons in particular why you and I should remember that we have been redeemed by the Lord. First of all, as believers, we must remember that our redemption for the purpose of humility before the Lord. In the book of Micah, it says to you and I who are saved, chapter 6 and verse 8 of that book, it says, "What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" And my, as Christians, our lives are to be marked with humility of heart before the Lord. And surely whenever we think of how the Lord has redeemed us from the bondage and the servitude of our sin, that ought ever to keep us humble as a people before the Lord. Yes, through the redeeming work of Christ in our lives, child of God, you and I, we have been justified before God. We have been pardoned. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been brought into God's family, into his kingdom, and we have been set on the way to heaven and to glory itself. Romans 3 verse 24 says, "To you and I who are saved, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." My, before this, we were foolish. We were perverse. We were lost in sin. We were in the kingdom of darkness. We were on the broad way to a lost eternity in hell itself. But in grace, God has redeemed us to himself. And all of this we were undeserving of the very least of God's mercies. Yet what does our text tonight say? It says, the Lord thy God hath redeemed thee. This is all of grace to you and I tonight as Christians. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51, and look with me there at verse 1 of that chapter. Isaiah 51 and the verse 1, it says, the Lord is speaking here to his people, to you and I who are saved. And he says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye were hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. How we are never to forget what the Lord has done for us, how in redemption he has lifted us out of the pit of corruption. He has pardoned our sins. He's brought us into his family. And he has set us on the road to glory. And may the remembrance of our redemption ought ever to keep us humble and lowly like Mary of old at the feet of Christ, at the feet of our Savior. Yes, as believers, we must remember our redemption for the purpose of humility of heart before the Lord. But secondly, tonight we can say further that as believers, we must remember our redemption for the purpose of gratitude to the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says there in that verse, it says, and be ye thankful. And as Christians, we are ever to be thankful to God. May our lives as Christians are to be marked with thanksgiving to God. And may this is a command to God's people all throughout the Scriptures. And my one of the greatest encouragements there is in our lives to be thankful to God is but a remembrance of God's redeeming work in Christ toward us as the people of God. How it ought ever to make us thankful to God when we consider we have been redeemed to God through Christ by his precious blood shed upon the cross of Calvary. Turn in your Bible over to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. And look with me there, please, at verses 9 and 10 of 1 John chapter 4. And here you see the love of God was all involved in our redemption through Christ. It was God's love toward us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. John says, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that word propitiation means the appeasement of the wrath of God that was against us because of our sins. And how is that wrath appeased? How is the wrath of God appeased? Through Christ, through his sacrifice, his redeeming sacrifice for us upon the cross. Dear child of God, it was all because of God's love towards you and towards me that Christ came. Christ died upon the cross to be our Redeemer. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Yes, by our redemption through Christ, dear believer, you and I tonight have been made an inheritor, a partaker of the riches of God's grace. The Bible talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. And you and I, because of redeeming work of Christ, have been made a partaker of those riches. We were singing earlier on in our opening hymn those tremendous words of the hymn writer, pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. And child of God, that's your portion tonight in Christ. Because Christ has redeemed you, you have pardon, you have peace, you have the Lord's presence in your life, you have the promise of his strength, his grace to help you in all the battles and trials of life. You have You have blessings, it says, with 10,000 beside. And then it says, a bright hope for tomorrow. The hope of heaven. The hope of glory through the redeeming work of Christ. Yes, all the blessings of our salvation we owe, every single one of them, to the redeeming work of Christ. Oh, in light of such blessings, may our hearts ever be filled with gratitude and with thankfulness to the Lord. Yes, the remembrance of our redemption, it encourages us to be humble and lowly before the Lord, to realize we are nothing. It encourages us, yes, to be thankful and full of gratitude to the Lord. But also as believers tonight, we can say further, we should remember our redemption for the purpose of confidence in our life as Christians. Think again of what our text says. It says, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee hence. The Lord thy God redeemed thee hence. Child of God, in love and in grace, the Lord redeemed you. He redeemed you and I when we were lost sinners. He redeemed you and I when we were rebels before him. We read here of Israel, they were redeemed when they were, it says, bondmen in Egypt. And that's the picture of the sinner. And that's what the Lord has done for you and I. He redeemed us when we were sinners, when we were rebels before God, when we were astray from God like lost sheep. When our backs were toward God and our faces were towards the world and towards sin and all that is contrary to God. Yes, there was nothing in us to commend God's favor. There was nothing in Israel of old to commend God's favor. And there was nothing in you and I to commend God's favor. And my, if the Lord has pardoned and redeemed us when you and I were rebels to God and enemies of God, then, child of God, what then shall he not do for us? Now that we are the friends of God, now that we are the children of God, now that we are in the family of God. David said these words in Psalm 63 to the Lord. He says, because thou hast been my help, therefore under the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. And in other words, past help from the Lord, it encouraged David to seek the Lord in his present time of need, in his present time of trial and adversity. Past blessings encouraged him to look to the Lord for present and future blessings in his time of need. Turn over, please, to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Look with me, please, there at verse number 10. Romans chapter 5 and the verse number 10. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Then turn over to Romans chapter 8, just another chapter over to Romans 8. Then look at verse number 32. Here it says, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And those two verses together, they speak of present aid, or if you like, present help from God in light of past blessings from the Lord, in particular, the blessings of redemption through the blood of Christ. Child of God, the Lord, he has not changed. The Lord, he changes not. And believer, remember this tonight, that the Lord's love toward you, it's exact same tonight as it was the day, the moment the Lord saved you, whenever that was, wherever that was, maybe recently, maybe many years ago. But the Lord's love to you tonight is the exact same as it was whenever the Lord saved you. Not only, believer, is his love toward you the same, also, believer, remember this also, that his power to help you tonight is the exact same as his power was toward you whenever he saved you, wherever he saved you, whenever that was. His power, his love toward you has not changed, has not diminished one iota. The Lord, he changes not. Therefore, believer, tonight, be encouraged. Be encouraged to seek the Lord for help in your present need, in your present circumstances tonight, or whatever those circumstances might be, even in the week that lies before us, because his love toward you has not changed. It never will change. His power toward you and his power for you has not changed. Neither will it ever change. Because the Bible speaks to you and I of Jesus Christ and says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And how does the psalmist speak of the Lord? He describes him as a present help, not a past help, but a present help. Yes, he has helped us in the past, and that should give us confidence and encouragement for the present and all our time of needs, and all our needs, that he's there to help us. The hymn writer says, just the time I need him, he's always there. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Look at the final verse of that chapter. Hebrews 4 verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help you in time of need. Believer, the Lord redeemed you when you were a sinner, when you were far away from God. He brought you into his banqueting house. His banner over you is love. Oh, should that not encourage you tonight in your needs, in your circumstances, whatever they are, to come afresh to the Lord in prayer, to seek the Lord for present help and grace and aid in your time of need. Yes, the remembrance of our redemption, it keeps us lowly. It keeps us thankful. It inspires our faith. It inspires our confidence. One final thought tonight in connection with our text. Yes, as believers, we should remember our redemption for the purpose of pity and the purpose of zeal toward others. Our text tonight says, thou shalt remember that the Lord thy God redeemed thee. That's a personal redemption. Tonight, yes, our hearts are filled with gratitude to God for redeeming us to himself. He could have passed by us. He could have left us. Where would we be tonight if the Lord had not intervened, had not redeemed us? Just think where we might be. But he has redeemed us, and that fills us with gratitude for redeeming us to himself and for delivering us from the bondage of our sin, the penalty of our sin, and one day from the very presence of sin itself. But in the light of that, we ask the question, what are we among so many? What are we among so many all around us tonight, all around this church building, in our workplaces, wherever they are, in our families and our family circles, in the wider community around us? There are multitudes, dear people, multitudes of men, of women, of young people, of children. And they're still lost in their sin. They're still perishing in their sin. Their lives are ruined and wrecked by sin, and they have no hope in their life. They're hopeless. They're void of hope on their way to a lost eternity in hell itself. But brethren and sisters in Christ, the Lord has redeemed you and I. Why? So that you and I can be a witness to others. So you and I can be a means of directing others, pointing others to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of sinners. The Lord says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. He has redeemed us to be a witness for him to others, to tell others about him. Think of the words of the Apostle John in 1 John verse 1 and verse 3. He says these words about Christ. He says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And there he speaks of witnessing for Christ, declaring Christ, telling others about Christ, so they too might be redeemed and might have fellowship with Christ. And turn with me in your Bible over to Psalm number 66. Psalm number 66 in your Bible. Psalm number 66. And go down to verse 16 of the psalm. Psalm number 66 and the verse number 16. Notice the words here of the psalmist. He says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And there David speaks of witnessing. witnessing of what the Lord had done for him in redemption. And that's why we ought ever to remember that we have been redeemed, that we might be inspired and given that burden to witness to others, to show forth Christ to others, that they too might enter into this great blessing of knowing Christ and being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. O child of God, daily let us seek to speak a word for the Lord to some weary soul. All around us, their souls, they're weary with sin, lives broken, ruined by sin. Let us seek to speak a word for the Lord to them. Daily let us pray that God would give us opportunities, God-given opportunities, to speak to others for Christ, to tell others of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and what he means to us. You think of the words of the hymn writer tonight. The hymn writer says, speak just a word for Jesus. Tell how he died for you. You often repeat the story. A wonderful, glad and true. And that's why we've been redeemed, that we might often repeat that story and tell it to others. That story that is wonderful, that has gladdened our hearts, that is true not only for time, but for all of eternity. Oh, let us pray for wisdom. Let us pray for love in our hearts to say to others, whoever they are, whatever their background is, whatever religion they are, whatever color of skin they have, to speak to others in great need and say with the words of David, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We're coming up to the mission in a few weeks' time. That mission will come and go very, very quickly. Let us be much in prayer for it, but let us also do all we can to witness to friends, family, loved ones, and do what we can to gather others and invite others in under the sound of God's word. For who doth know? Only God doth know. But maybe this mission will be the last time, the last opportunity for some soul that we know to get saved and to get right with God. Let us be up and doing, for the night cometh when no man can work. Our text says, but thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. As we journey, yes, to heaven, oh, let us never lose sight of Christ and what he has done for us as his people in redemption. May God bless his word and these thoughts to our hearts. We'll turn again, please, to our hymn book, just to sing another hymn before we get down to prayer. It's the hymn number 335. 335 in your hymn book, on the page 3112. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Hymn number 335. We'll stand as we sing. Well, we'll just get down to our time of prayer, encourage as many as possible to pray, men and women alike. Let us pray one with another and one for another in the place of prayer. Remember the services over the weekend. Be much in prayer for them, the Sabbath school, the youth fellowship. And remember also the forthcoming prayer service. Pray for that as an outreach. And then the mission as well. Be much in prayer for that. The Bethel Children's Crusade. And remember the sick and the elderly, those who mourn in our congregation. And do remember our land, the need of a revival, reformation. And remember our missionaries as well at home and abroad. Maybe you could remember those labouring in Australia. There's the Graham family in Port Lincoln, the Gardeners in Perth, the Halls down in Tasmania. And let us remember them. And whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart, but encourage as many as possible to pray, and especially for the mission and around the area there of Springfield, around the hall, that people will come in. God will bless the visitation and bless the meetings night by night with the presence and the power of the Lord. But just look to the Lord in the time that is left. Maybe ask your brother Ian to lead us off in prayer, then also our brother Mr. Raymond Medill, and then one after the other, as the Lord would lead us in the time that is left, please. Thank you.